Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning.
Does anyone have any prayer requests? All right, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for this new day that you have given us.
Down on his face at his feet,
so that I will know right at heart from wrong. Oh, my mommy and daddy, I'm thankful. Psalm 95:2. Let us enter his presence with thanksgiving and
he was in a room with another boy. One day a nurse came in, and this other that's made his bones break easily. And the nurse sat him down. Maybe she, I'm not sure if she didn't know about it or not, but then his bones just broke and he just fell down on the ground. And he thought, why am I feeling sorry for myself? I have way better than he does. And he said he learned there to be thankful, even though he was in a bad situation. Let's read the Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David was saying that the one thing that he desired was to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. I think he was talking here about his life here on earth. All of his days, he wanted to have his desire just to serve God. In the verse 3, it says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not be. When David was a young man, can anyone tell me what the name of the host was that was encamped against the army of Israel? And everyone was afraid except for David. And as long as all the Israelites were afraid, they weren't able to do anything about it. Until one young man came who was not afraid. And the reason he wasn't afraid was because he knew that he was on God's side, that he was fighting for God. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in thy anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wanted to just talk a little bit about the sacrifices in verse 6. He says, therefore will I offer in the tabernacle sacrifices of joy. think what he's saying is that he will joyfully offer sacrifice. Can someone tell us in the Old Testament what a sacrifice was? A lot of times, what did they sacrifice? And was it just annual lamb?
No, it was a lamb.
Right. In Leviticus, God would not have been pleased if they would have just offered a lamb or whatever animal it was. One that wasn't very healthy, one that might die anyway. You know, they just thought, well, I'll give this one to God because it's going to probably die anyway and it's not very strong. In verse 1, the verse that I wanted to give was verse 3. If his offering, it's in chapter 1 of Leviticus, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And some of the different translations don't have that voluntary will in there, but I thought that was really interesting. God was saying here that he didn't want people to do this either, just because they had to. He wanted them to do this because they wanted to. And does anyone know what sacrifice we're called to make today in the New Testament? One that Paul talks about. Does anyone know what that is? That's the hard one. In Romans, Paul talked about us giving up our bodies as a living sacrifice. It means giving up what we want to do, giving up our will to do God's will. And that's what Jesus did when he was here. He didn't come to do the things that he wanted to do. He only did what the things that God wanted him to do. That's all he did. He never just tried to please himself or do whatever he wanted to do. And a good way for you boys to learn that is to learn how to give up your will to do what your father and your mother want you to do. If you know they want you to do something, whether they ask or not, stop doing what you want to do and do what you know they would want you to do. Instead of thinking whenever somebody asks you to do something, oh, I want to finish this yet, I want to play a little bit, I want to tinker a little more on this or that. But, just learn that life is not about what you want to do. It's about ultimately about doing what God wants us to do. But for you, a good way to learn that is doing it like a parent. You can go back.
Philemon had a servant named Onesimus, and
but ran away from by leaving his car. Paul helped him become a Christian, and then decided to send him, or send him back to Philemon. He wrote a letter to Philemon and sent a message back. So it was kind of neat how, in the letter, Paul then rebuked Philemon about having slaves.
I read the first couple of chapters of Jeremiah and the prophecies of what was going to happen to him. It was just kind of neat. There was a lot when the last chapter, verse of chapter 5, just described why they were going to be judged, and it was a lot like the United States and America now. How they're just rich and fat and they don't help the poor. I just thought it was kind of neat how those prophecies kind of went to.
I read the first couple of chapters of the chapter in the he's a prophet that knows a lot of good things going on in the people that he's had to pray for their life. And he's probably still lovers is on what a right service should be and should be.
I read the book of Judas and the book through the Bible, and it talks about how Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler of the whole earth at the time in their mind, and he sent his captain to destroy the Israel country around that area, and he came before them, they were destroying the people, and they brought the leader of the Amorites, Achor, I'm not sure his name, but anyway, he came and brought him before the general, and the general told him all about the Israelites, saying, if they do well, then their God will help them. If they sin, you don't even have to fight them. God will destroy them for you. And so he let him go back to the Israelites, or let him go, and the Israelites ended up with him. And he told him all that. He told the Israelites, and he told the commander of the Nebuchadnezzar's army, and then the people were up in the city by this point. They were out of food and their water was limited. It was scary, and they were starting to, the people were starting to die, and it was getting pretty rough in there. So the people came before the leader of the city, Uzziah, and said, let us go, or just get us out of here. And he said, well, it's in 5 days, God doesn't destroy them, or I don't read that out. But anyway, you buy it and put God to the test, saying, in 5 days, if he doesn't help us, then we're doing whatever. And so Judith, she came before you die and said, that is wrong, put God to the test. Let me go out, and I have a plan I want to execute. And she went and prayed before God and said, God, help me, help the deceitfulness of my lips to bring glory to you. Basically, she prayed to God to let her lie help deliver her people out of this crisis. And so she went out into the camp, her and her maid, and she was a widow at the time. She put off her widow garments, and it says in the Bible that she was a very beautiful woman, and all the men that looked at her liked her. And so she went to the camp of the enemy, and they realized she was very pretty and whatever, and so they brought her before the commander, and he instantly liked her, and he ended up, made long story short, she, after 3 days, she had prayed, she'd go out and pray all by herself. She told the commander what she was doing, she's going to pray, go out and pray the third time every day, and so she did this on the fourth day of her being out there, out of the city. She went before the commander. He had this great big banquet that he wanted to honor all the people that took care of him. And so he had this banquet. And then on the fourth night there, she went into him, and he wanted to lay with her. And so she went in, and he was so drunk by the time that she just took his sword and fell off his head, and he went out to pray like she usually did. Well, she just went straight back to the Israelites and showed him the head of the commander, and she told him not here what to do. You take this head, hang it over the wall, and the morning march out, and they'll go to the captains, and the captains will go to the highest generals, and they'll all go to him to find out what to do. And when they find you dead, they'll be in panic. And it happened just like she said, because God was with her, and she was the only one out there that was able to see what needed to be done and then. And so, and I was thinking about how the people, when they were anyway, God granted them great victory over them because of the woman that had faith in God to do what was right.
I read the book of Titus and it says in chapter 3 that we should put to practice what we read and do.
I read that simple wisdom is all right. I just read several chapters in Proverbs, and there's a lot of wisdom on a lot of different things that pertain to just about everybody. I read Philippians, and these are some verses that stood out to me. Chapter 2, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on things of others. Chapter 3, verse 8, yea, God will strike down all things but loss with excellency, but the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, of whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as but done, that I may win Christ. Chapter 4, verse 8, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good for, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content.
I read the book of Habakkuk, and there are a few things that stood out. I guess it was mainly like any other, you would expect any other prophet to be. Not very much different, but it's interesting to me, one part in there it said, behold, you despise me. This is God I'm talking to. Answering Habakkuk about the wickedness of Israel. And it said, behold, you despise this wonder of Paris, because I work the work of your days that you won't believe me if I told you. And he was going to bring the Philistines to take the captives, you know, further Babylon. And then another interesting part in there was God is talking about idols and how it's just ridiculous how man has carved out these idols and then expects them to be something greater than them or something that would teach them. And then the last part was the Hind. He sets my feet on a rock like Hind feet. I've always heard that verse, but I never knew that it was in Habakkuk.
I read the book of Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 4. Verse that cut out the community and there was a just with God and faith. I read the book of Amos and God just calling the people to be righteous and help the poor and help the righteous. And then there was a verse I really liked in the back of it. You know, we've all made choices there. There's a wrong that says, the old days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the tare breaks him who sows the seed. I just, you know, take that as what we are doing now will overtake what we've done.
I read through Mark 6:8, and they're talking about. And it's fairly short, but it's kind of written like the prophets in the Old Testament. It just goes through how Israel, God's people, they didn't hearken to his voice and obey him straightway, even after he through and saying, these things are happening to you, you're being led into captivity, you're becoming desolate, you're eating your sons and your daughters' flesh because you didn't harden to the Lord and you're giving up over to abominations. And it just goes through and explaining the faithfulness of God and promises either good or bad for our actions. And then there was one verse, I think it's in like chapter 3 or 4, that kind of stood out to me. It says, as you have sought to go away from God, but now you seek Him, seek Him 10 times the more than you did to go away from Him. I read the book of Job that I was looking over the prophets, and each one of them is, everyone, I think pretty much every one of the prophets talks about God's judgment coming and tells the people to repent, and they just hate that. And it's exactly the same today. People tell them what's going to happen, this is God's word, and they just hate it. And, something else that I can't remember.
I read a section in the book of Romans 1:16 to 6:33, and don't forget about it.
I started reading Jeremiah, and I just found a few interesting things throughout the book. And Jeremiah was just called the one of the people that John was going to send judgment because they left him. And like the verse here in verse 6, it says, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask about the eternal pathways of the Lord. See what the good way is, and walk in it. Here you will find purification for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And that's just the will of man right there. They just don't want to do what's right. They don't want to follow God. Ryan and I were preaching in Kansas City yesterday, and a man came up and asked him about his time about riches. He said, what does that mean? And then Ryan just kind of explained to him, and the man just thought, oh, you should be happy, and he just wanted to just live in his riches. And finally, it just came down to the point where Ryan just said, well, if you don't want to preach, if you just want to live your own way, if you want to please yourself, you don't want to please the Lord. And the man just said, yeah, that makes sense. And he walked off. And that's just the way it was then, it's the way it is now. A lot of people may know it's right. But it's hard in their hearts and want to live their own life.
I read another chapter on Judges about the wall of Jericho. What stood out to me was that you do what he told you to do, he will give you the great wall of Jericho come tumbling down. They marched around it, and you know, if you do what he says, he'll give you great things.